T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. It's time for the Manny Diaz Show, brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF. By O'Reilly Auto Parts, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And by Kendall Toyota, the model year-end sales event is here at Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Call 305-KENDALL today. Good morning, Coach. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday. How are we doing?
We're doing great, Coach, and congratulations, by the way, on the win, and especially the way it happened. All those things we talked about, making big plays, defensively being aggressive, your red zone defense. What was the biggest change, Coach, when you go back and you look at the tapes that you saw when you went back, that changed so dramatically in that game?
Well, like you mentioned, obviously defensively we had a great effort out there. Guys really put it on their backs to get us the win. But overall, as an entire team, I think it was just we were the team that made the plays in the fourth quarter. I mean, obviously we've been in all these sort of toss up tight games, and to have it where obviously our offense had a hard time moving the ball against Virginia, and then all of a sudden they get to the fourth quarter and go right down the field twice and get us 10 points, which is big in a tight game like that. And then defensively to make him, to make it stand up and to keep Virginia out of the end zone and all the trips that they went down there. I mean, I just thought the will of the team to get the victory in front of our fans, I thought the fans were awesome. It was rowdy in there in the fourth, and that would ultimately prove to be the difference.
Coach, help me out. Defensively, you said last week when we talked, like, hey, I'm going more to the defense. I think it was just kind of a general comment at that point. What exactly did you call plays? Did you make change? What was the biggest thing you did defensively with this group to get involved?
No, but Blake Baker called the plays, and I thought he called a great game on Friday night. The biggest thing was just in practice, and as I've mentioned, there had to be someone who all the players could connect to, and because for whatever reason it had just not happened. Just maybe adding a different layer of accountability to the players on that side of the ball and making them feel that, how they're all dependent on one another for each other's success. And look, like, as I mentioned, we were going to play better anyway. I don't think that was who we were, against Virginia Tech, but we had to get a sense of urgency that we had to get it going right away because, the standard is the standard at the University of Miami for how we play defense. And everyone knew that there's a lot of guys with pride in that room that had let it down the week before.
Coach, it looked like, I don't know. I mean, you're being nice. It looked a lot more aggressive and more blitzing. It looked a little bit more like old Manny Diaz defense. I'm just saying that from the outside, Coach.
Well, yeah, because when guys – look, it's when guys – it's just amazing how it happens. When guys trust each other and guys go, it's amazing how everybody just plays so much faster. And I agree with you, you know what I mean? But it's always too easy to make it just about a play call. Because play calls that are executed slowly don't look very good. But when guys really cut it loose and let it go, then all of a sudden guys are really making things happen. And I thought we were the more physical team. I thought, just the way we played and got after it and punished all their ball carries. Let me tell you something now. That quarterback's a hard guy to tackle. If they had a statue playing quarterback, we'd have sacked him 16 times. that guy's hard to get on the ground. And I'm glad he's a senior. We don't have to deal with him anymore.
Coach, what happened in practice last week? Greg Russo gets a start and had a little bit of a coming out party for himself. We've heard a lot about him in the last couple of years,
beast.
So, but man, you let the beast kind of loose on Friday night.
Yeah, Greg's been coming and coming. His snap count has been going up more and more. And if anyone watches our front play, we rotate our ends and tackles. So, who's out there for the first play usually isn't the biggest deal. But so Greg, yeah, but you're right. I mean, Greg, in terms of his understanding of the structure of the defense and you know, as you know, defensive end now, it's almost like playing outside linebacker because of all the assignments on zone read, for example. So, you know, Greg was becoming more and more comfortable with what was going on in there, and ultimately warranted, you know, to be out there for the first play. And then now that he's out there, you just see his ability grow. And we've been saying this about Greg Rousseau, you know, since he early enrolled his freshman year. And it's a great example of our recruiting efforts and an idea of trusting your evaluation. You know, Greg's a guy at a shopping yacht high school that we thought the world of, and thought he had a chance to be an outstanding player, and it's gotten in the program. You look at the way his our strength program has developed his body, and he's an example of creating an elite player here from Dade County, and really been exciting to watch him progress and develop.
Coach, what can his weight be? I think he's put like 50 pounds on, 40 or
Looks
50
like
pounds
it.
Since he got to your program. How big can he play and still be effective? Could he be 270, 280?
Yeah, but would that be necessary? You know, for what purpose? Because he has such, you know, the idea of just having, you know, weight for weight's sake, I don't know that that would help. He's so long levered. He's got such amazing leverage. So when he bends, you know, this is just... Yeah. You know, I didn't learn much in physics, but I learned a little bit when people with long levers bend, you know, I mean, the force that they can apply on another object is increased. So, you know, you would never want him to lose his natural gift, which is the ability to run. I mean, the one time Virginia ran a little naked with a quarterback, and he was shot out of a cannon, and Perkins ended up throwing it away. So, you know, again, defense is all about, you know, speed and quickness first, you know, an explosion and power second. And at Miami, we're never going to worry about what number the guy weighs as long as we can run fast and hit hard.
Hey, let me ask you about your quarterback situation. Nikosi Perry takes – it's kind of weird. He took over, but he's got more experience than any of your quarterbacks. Has a great drive, really did a nice job with things. Does it tease you a little bit to come back with him again this week? Could it happen, or do you stick with Jaren Williams?
Well, it doesn't tease us. It lets us know what we've been saying all along is that we can win games with Nikosi. I mean, Nikosi just beat a 20th ranked team, you know, in the country, and the week before led a 20-point comeback, and last year he led a comeback against Florida State from down 20. I mean, Nikosi, he's done some things now on his resume that are impressive. So it's what I've been saying all along. You know, Jaren Williams is our starter, but it's still up to Jaren to come back from the issues he's been dealing with, and also to come back with the adversity of what he faced in the Virginia Tech game, and to prove to everybody that he's ready to go. And if for whatever reason he's not, we've got all the faith in the world in Nikosi to get it done.
So if Jaren is healthy, Jaren will be the starter coming up this week.
If he's healthy and if he's ready, again, it's two parts to it. It's healthy and he's ready to put to bounce back. In essence, from, you know, look, when you're the quarterback, everybody's watching everything you do. And you know, it's an idea of getting back in there and getting back on the horse and saying, hey, let's ride. And you know, I think once he's ready for that, then we'll be ready to go.
Coach, you got to tell us about this kicking story. I've seen kickers to see if they're healthy or not in warm-ups, but you actually let them kind of compete there in warm-ups between Bubba Baxa and Turner Davidson, who ends up doing a field goal kick, and Bubba did the kickoffs. I'm just curious, did they know ahead of time that they were going to be in a little open competition, kickoff competition before the game?
We've been competing in everything we've done all fall, in essence, in terms of who's going to be our kicker. You know, I mean, we chart every kick that they make in practice, every kick that they miss in practice, where it's made and where it's missed from. So they all know that everything counts and everything matters. And when we got to the stadium Friday night, it just so happened that the warm-up was so one-sided, and Turner was just so much better that we just felt like we had no choice but to go his route. And we explained that to Bubba, and that's not a, you know, again, the competition continues, you know, going forward. It was very important for Bubba to do a great job with kickoffs because, as we all saw, you know, Reed is such an amazing kick returner. The team was very excited to see Turner get his chance. You know, the team always wants the competition, you know, reigns supreme. That's what the team wants. They want to see guys at every position competing, and they want to see the best man have a chance to get out there and make plays on game day.
Coach, I'm not even going to lie to you. I saw a picture of Turner Davidson after the game, and I thought it could have been like your nephew out there in a jersey and not one of the players on the team or a walk-on. I could not believe it that this guy was out there. And it was an even better story. Now, I know you got pressed last week during the press conferences by a couple of the reporters about your number two kicker and what was going on with him. What was the storyline with, I guess, since Turner's your number three guy or the walk-on, what was the story with the number two kicker on the depth chart?
Yeah, Camden Price has been unavailable for us for the last couple of weeks. We'll get him back this weekend, so we'll really have a three-man competition during the course of the week to see who trots out there on Saturday.
What a cool story, though. Right. I mean, the Turner Davidson, it's a cool story. Makes his field goal, hits a couple extra points, and he just seemed like, what did he say when you said, "Hey, Turner, you're ready to go? You're going to be kicking field goals and extra points against one of the best teams in the ACC." How'd that go?
He was excited. I talked actually at the hotel that day, before the warm-up, at the hotel that day. I said, "Hey, listen, be mentally ready to go in there and make a kick tonight." And he's like, "I'm ready, coach," you know. And he's got a great temperament, great demeanor about him. And that's fun. You know, he's got, we had some fun with Turner in the locker room after the game. And the players, like I said, they were really excited. And look, these ACC games, man, everything matters, right? I mean, these games all seem to come down to the end. And right. So there's a game that, you know, every point that's on offer, you got to have. So to be able to make those kicks, you know, in a game where, you know, that comes down to such slim margins, you know, there's such a little margin for error. So it was huge to our efforts.
Coach, were you worried? I was a little worried. I'm not going to lie to you. Before the game, I was like, damn, they've lost all these close games. They don't know how to win. They don't make big plays when they need to late. And I said, this is going to be another one of those games. Does that cross your mind as a coach? Like, how do I get guys to make plays and find a way to win late in games the way you did finally against Virginia?
Well, I think you have trust in your guys. And I think you also know that that's a process, that you just have to learn how to do it. I mean, I did have the thought when it was 7-6. I thought the other way around. I'm a more generally optimistic person, that this would be the game where this team is going to figure out how to make it happen in the fourth quarter and how to make the plays. And what was so cool about it is you just look at all the varying, you know, guys that step up and make a play in that situation, whether that's, you know, Mark Pope with a great catch and run, you know, on the sideline for a 30-yard gain, you know, DJ Dallas run down to the goal line, and then Nikosi, you know, Nikosi on the play, you know, to score the touchdown, ultimately, you know, just the determination to not be denied, you know what I mean, and to stick the ball there in the end zone to get the touchdown, you know, and then whether it's Trajan Bandy on a big sack on the last drive, you know, right. Just that's what it takes, man. It just takes different guys making plays, and then the confidence of the team will grow from that. And that's just, you know, look, that's been a little bit of the story of this team. Everyone knows how close we are to having a much, much better record, but that in essence came down to, in all three games, some fourth quarter, you know, same thing like we talked about, shooting the ball and watching it go in and out, you know, and so to be able to watch the ball go through the net is a big deal to our confidence.
Coach, the Amari Carter, the penalty after he got, you know, the targeting call and he was in the end zone, like, what happened? Like, I'm sure he explained it to you, and I know you talked a little bit about it post-game, but what happened there with the miscommunication where he thought, like, he was going to be thrown out or wasn't? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I thought that was a little unfair on Amari. You know, I don't know if you've been down there, Joe. It's really hard to hear anything acoustically down on the field at Hard Rock. And so Amari was waiting for someone to take him off the field. He's not sitting there trying to play the next play, but he can't hear what's going on. And he's waiting for the official. And actually, if you watch the replay, the official is telling him that he's got to go. He's waiting for someone to tell him that he's got to go. So he's just standing there. I thought that was a little bit harsh. You kind of like a double foul, a little, you know, embarrassing for a guy that to be honest is just doing what we asked him to do. I thought Amari plays the game the right way, plays it physical, you know, he plays like a Miami Hurricane safety should play. So, you know, could we have managed that a little bit different? I mean, from our standpoint, obviously we got to get a guy out there and get him off the field. But I also thought that's one of those that they could have just blown a whistle and say, "Hey, young man, I'm sorry, but you know, you got to go." And just because there was simply a miscommunication thing. There was no intent to try to create an advantage, which ultimately is what penalty should be for.
Coach, it looked like, did you feel you guys played a cleaner game mentally on defense as well? Like less mistakes, being aggressive? Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that we did. And again, I had mentioned, well, look, I mean, I mean, compared to the week before, that wasn't too much of an ask. I mean, of course, we were so not clean the week before, but that was the attention to detail that had been missing, you know, and just again, that's where just ramping up that accountability, which and I have to also make mention, our leaders did a better job, you know, you're going to go as far as your older guys go, you're going to play. Your team is going to play as well as your best players play. And I thought our best players stepped up and played much better Friday than they had the Saturday before.
Coach, what a weird start to the season schedule-wise. Now you end a five-game homestand this week coming up against Georgia Tech. Five in a row at home after the weirdest start with bye weeks and early starts and everything. But you got one last one at home here on this homestand against Georgia Tech this weekend.
It is. You know, and it's been a peculiar year, to say the least. But you know what? Again, the one constant has been this is a team that has fought for each other. If you look at the energy on the sideline, if you look at the way that the guys stay after it, it's a team that doesn't flinch. And like I said, I thought the demeanor between the team and the fans in the fourth quarter was unbelievable. And to be able to see those guys finally get the reward of the victory was amazing. And then we got another opportunity to do it on Saturday, you know, and everyone knows there's some spots where we're young and it just is what it is. But you know, you come watch a game, you're coming to watch a team that's going to fight. You're going to come watch a team that plays with a lot of pride to be a Miami Hurricane. And that's something they've established through the first six games. And now, as we've been mentioning all along, as the execution starts to improve and we start to get better in that regard, this team got a chance to I think, be what we thought, you know, all along it could be, you know. And offensively, you know, there's a couple shots that we missed in that game in the first quarter, in the first half, that really could have created some major separation on the scoreboard and really gotten Virginia into a major throwing comeback mode game. And we know those things are there. But like I said, the execution can be fine-tuned. As long as the effort and the fight, if that travels every week, we know we'll have a chance to be tough to beat every weekend.
All right, Miami, Georgia Tech on Saturday. Coach, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Coach.
As always.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right, it's the Manny Diaz Show brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And by Lexus of Kendall, the model year end sales event is here. Exceptional prices on all the new Lexus UX, RX, NX, and IS, all at LexusofKendall.com and Lexus of West Kendall. Join 560 WQAM this Saturday at 3:30 for the Canes postgame show live from Shuckers Waterfront Bar and Grill in North Bay Village, where they have all the big games on Saturdays and Sundays. Shuckers with the best waterfront views in Miami.
All right, well, tough one, not just for the Dolphins, but, well, I shouldn't say that. I keep saying it's a tough one for the Dolphins. I guess a lot of people, I look at the comments, a lot of people are like, yeah, man, I'm glad it was competitive, but I'm glad they lost because that number one pick is life and death to everybody out there except me, apparently, in this thing. Can everybody hold off on the Tua thing at least? Are we going to go through this the next
long.
3 months?
That's all it's going to be.
Tua, Tua, Tua. I wonder if any Gator fans now that have had a chance to watch that other guy called Burrow, what they think of that guy.
Guess what? At this point, I've been on the Tua train all year. If it comes down to it at the end and the Dolphins have the number two pick, I don't want them trading up 19 picks to get to that number one. And if Burrow's going to be that second guy after seeing him against that Gator defense, of course I'll see more of it, you know, because there's a lot more games for LSU, including one at the end of the season where you may be able to see Burrow and Tua play in the same game. I don't know. Burrow's really good. He's a really good player.
That will be a fun game to watch, especially hopefully they both go undefeated, so 1-2 most likely at that point, although Clemson's still in there, Ohio State. I don't want to forget about some of the other teams.
But
that
they
are
both
still
dropped. LSU jumped after their win, and both those teams dropped. I know it was bigger win.
Yeah, bigger win. Florida State, boy, Florida State could have lost by
100.
That was they've got it.
What happened to Florida State?
I don't know. But I got to tell you something, just to blame it all on Jimbo Fisher. I heard another Jimbo Fisher cleaning up to Jimbo Fisher. Like, stop it. I don't know. I don't want to talk on behalf of Florida State fans. But to blame Jimbo Fisher for everything that goes on. I mean, next year, it definitely got to stop. Like, right, that'll be like, all right, man, this is your third recruiting class. Like, okay, apparently Jimbo Fisher left you with a bunch of two-star players. So calm down a little bit. And changing the culture, which, coach, I haven't had to go to class for 2 years with Jimbo, and now you're, I'm all messed. I mean, it gets to be too much. At some point, Taggart's got to be responsible instead of just, it's my job, instead of, you know, I heard those announcers the other day, and I was watching, I go, oh, God. We still bringing up Jimbo.
Right.
Jimbo's at Texas A&M. He's got his own problems at Texas A&M right now to take care of or figure out. So, I don't know. And just watching that. Hey, listen, college football was great all day long. A lot of things. By the way, Chargers, Rams, and Cowboys. I haven't had a chance to really watch the 49ers till yesterday afternoon when I got home. And, man, I will tell you, they got a really good, aggressive – it might be the best defensive line in football. That pass rush that they have. Now, they got three first-round picks on there, Thomas, Buckner, and Boza. But, boy, they get after it. I mean, you talk about aggressive at every part of that defense. They made the Rams' passing game look like ours. They really did. He looked terrible. Yep. He got knocked down.
Goff would look bad.
Goff, like, if you watched Goff yesterday, you wouldn't pay him minimum wage. You wouldn't give him $1 million a year. And they got after him. The other thing is, I wanted to talk about for a sec, this Josh Rosen thing. And, of course, Josh Rosen, he wasn't great yesterday. He wasn't. But I got to tell you something. He got knocked down to start the game. I think he was sacked in four of his first 12 plays, and honestly, he had no chance. Those are legit sacks. There were another three or four that he got rid of the ball or got hit in the head, or he took some shots yesterday. Could easily been sacked 8 or 9 times and not his fault. Where guys just had clean runs. I mean clean runs. Now, he had some outlet receivers for it, for plays to at least get rid of it and dump it off. But there were guys just unblocked that weren't supposed to be unblocked. So before, and I think part of that, when you get hit so much, you get gun shy. You just do. Unless you're friggin' Marino and you're tougher than else. But a lot of guys, just you get hit like that. And then he started, when he did have time, he didn't make very good decisions. And I think by that point he'd been hit a lot. Now, I'm not making an excuse for him. He got to play better. I would have done the same thing. Hell, I might have put him in a little bit earlier. Fitzpatrick yesterday.
He was getting beat up.
And I got to tell you, I can't explain. Everybody wants to know. I do think they rally around Fitzpatrick. I think everybody plays with him, rallies around him. I think he's that kind of guy. I tell this story because I have never seen anything like it and enjoy it on the bench. Sitting with, and Bo and I sit and talk about the game on the bench a couple hours before the game. We're over there. So we sit and we get to watch. Players don't talk to us much. You know, they're just kind of doing their own thing. Fitzpatrick walks out, three tight ends over. Here come a couple of the linemen. Sit with him. A couple more linemen. He might have a crowd when he stands there. Then a couple of Redskins players come over to see him. He stands up, goes over. Those guys want to talk to him. Then he goes and sits down. He's just got that thing. Somebody told me Don Strock, and I went, absolutely. That's a Don Strock thing.
Towards him, yeah.
Like, you know, they want to come over, shoot the breeze. Hey, man, what's going on? The guys loosens up the guys before the game. He goes to throw, and he'll have four guys on each side of him, one to talk and catch the ball standing next to him. And I always say to myself, and everybody's different, because David Woodley was a lot like Rosen, a lot like him. Not going to go out and do any bonding with any of the guys, just going to do his own thing. And I see it. So when I see that, and then I see him go in the game, and I see guys block better, and they did, and I see guys, the effort that I saw from Walton and Drake breaking tackles. Kenyon Drake broke a couple tackles, pick up another 5 yards. The throws he makes, receivers are making all these catches. Gesicki goes up, who loves him and idolizes him.
Jeez.
Jumps up, makes a catch between two guys. I can't explain it because obviously I think Rosen's got much better physical talent right now at this point than Fitzpatrick. But I just hope that Rosen And I know you just can't change your personality. If you're an introvert or you have your own thing and it doesn't include teammates around you, then
it's never going to happen.
Right. You can't just fake it. You can't fake be somebody, right? You either like being around dudes, and dudes that don't like, then leave me alone. I just want to play. Shut up. I'm getting ready to kick some ass. Okay, leave you alone. Then there's other guys like to hang around in a pack. But it is unbelievable to watch that before every game. Those guys all – and they don't, I don't think they realize they do it. They go, come on, I'm going to go out and talk to Fitzy. So I get to see, I go, this is unbelievable. And the other guy, not even out there, which I don't know, man. I mean, everybody's got their own way of doing things. I'm not saying it's wrong because my roommate was a weirdo. He was that guy. Didn't talk to anybody. Didn't talk to veterans. Didn't ask the older guys, hey, what do you see? What do you think? You know, I'm starting. And then this guy, so Fitzpatrick.
But they play harder? You see more effort?
I don't want to say they play harder.
No, I don't. Okay, so I'll take play harder. But there's more effort.
But they just, it's just something.
That's like, a problem.
How do you explain those last couple drives? I don't know. Is there I know the coach talks about the magical words. I call them magical words in the huddle. This confidence, this guy comes in. Hey, loosen up, fellas. Come on, man. Relax. Let's block a little bit. We don't need a lot. Hey, guys, come on. Coming to you.
But Rosen doesn't do that.
I don't know if he does because I'm not out there.
Well, it just doesn't affect the team as much. You see it. I mean, there's a definite different style of play when they switch from Rosen to Fitzpatrick, or when Fitzpatrick's in there in the beginning of the season and then Rosen took over at the end. Like, there's a definite difference. It's noticeable. It's not just from guys, you know, that know the game better than the average, you know, viewer or someone watching. There's a difference. And that's a huge problem. That's when you know right away that just Rosen's not the guy going forward.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that Brady sits and talks and comes out early and talks to guys. He doesn't.
No, but Brady's a different story.
But he goes out and you're just like, damn, that's Tom Brady. Obviously, it's a different situation. Everybody's got their own style of doing things and everything. But, boy, I'll tell you what. I just felt the energy. I think everybody was at that game when he came in, and he got it going. He got a couple plays going. Right. They got the car out of park and got it into first and second gear and then got it on the freeway on 95.
It was stalling.
Got it in the fast lane and got rolling, and then everybody started making plays, right? Everybody. Guys are jumping up making plays that made all year, and then Devontae goes in the middle, beats – their best corner, one of the highest paid corners, beats him on a post pattern inside for the touchdown. And so it's kind of fun. I got no problem with what the coach did, by the way, getting back to the original point of Josh still going to start. You didn't play well. You got the crap knocked out of you, which is going to happen. That's part of the deal here with this group until they get better, if they do get better. But he took some shots. Anybody that was there saw those four. Those four sacks could have been double with no problem early in that game. It was bad. There wasn't time to look over for a new play.
No.
They were flying around. We got more stuff coming up here this morning. We'll check in to Hollywood. We'll have some stuff for us. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Don Bailey Jr. talking to the new kicker after the game. Turner Davidson, if you miss it. The walk-on kicker with a field goal, a couple extra points. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. Anyway, we'll talk to him about that interview and hear what they have to say with what happened after the game.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood. What do you got here on a Monday?
It's my favorite Hollywood segment.
Wow, you know Mondays like to whip around here. And we'll actually start it off in the NFL here, guys. There's a lot to get to. We'll start it off with Jameis Winston. Game out in London. He throws five picks as the Panthers win it 37-26. I'm going to ask you guys two questions from this game. First question is going to be the same question I asked you last week. Is Christian McCaffrey the best player in football? And the second question is Jameis Winston done?
McCaffrey might be the best player in football. A couple more touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, he is.
I am going yes and yes on that.
Actually having a good year, too. Yes. Yeah, I put him up there. Yes.
Jameis is done.
Yes.
Tampa Bay is going to be done with Jameis very soon.
You know, he had a couple good games.
I know he did.
Teased him, and he comes back with the five picks and one lost fumble. They turned the ball over seven times.
That's ridiculous.
You got no shot in the NFL to win. Of course, they didn't lose by that much.
They should have lost by 40 if you turned the ball over seven times in a game. That was ridiculous. And it was the early game, so you had to kind of watch it.
Well, you didn't have to.
I mean, yeah, but it's
could have been walking around down on the field or something.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Woody?
Well, from the best player to possibly the worst, Baker Mayfield throws three more picks. The Seahawks beat the Browns 32-28. Baker Mayfield on the season, 5 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
I don't know about Baker, but the guy that he played against yesterday's got to be up there for the best player in football, too.
He's got to be in the MVP watch. Not even a question. Russ is so good. Is so good.
How come we don't talk about – I know we care more about Baker playing crappy, which
– right.
He's on record pace with 11 – what's he, 11 picks on the season now?
5 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Oh, God. That's just crazy.
It's more enjoyable to rip Baker than it is to praise Russell Wilson.
That's a great point. I do agree with that. There's no question. Instead of talking, Russell's kind of a good guy, right?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Almost too good a guy. Like off time, he's doing charity stuff. Right. He actually is really a good role model for an organization as the guy. I mean, he does all the things that would have been popular 20, 25 years ago, but today... No, I mean, we need a Baker Mayfield to talk trash and can't back it up.
Seattle is a good team, and you got to be scared of this team at the end of the year if they keep this pace up. Seattle and the Niners, both teams just freaking me out this year so far.
Be some good games
I know.
Coming up.
You're right. They're going to be playing each other.
How about the Rams? They're in third place in their division.
Tough division. Outside of having Arizona in there.
And by the way, they better get going because 49ers now a couple of games out in front of them. What else you got, Woody?
All right, you guys bring up Russell Wilson. How about Deshaun Watson, guys? He had a couple of rushing touchdowns and a passing touchdown. The Texans are 4-2, and they beat Kansas City 31-24. Deshaun Watson, I think, needs to start entering that conversation just a little.
He's upped his game, and he's really screwing up our first-round pick.
You're right.
How about last night, Pittsburgh and Houston going, hey, Dolphins, we're not trying to help you, man. You do whatever you need to do to get the first pick. But our picks, you're going to be picking down low. You can, Pittsburgh's right. They're going, now. You can kiss my ass. We're not giving you a top 10 pick.
They got a quarterback with a nickname Duck. I would just expect him to be 1-15 on the season. And this Duck guy comes in last night.
Chargers, by the way.
I don't know.
Chargers and Cowboys and Rams.
Oh, my.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's bad.
What else, Woody?
All right, guys, this might be the quarterback that the Dolphins passed on that hurts the most. Lamar Jackson had another wild game yesterday. He had 236 yards passing. He also had 152 on the ground as the Ravens won 23-17 over the Bengals.
All right, so we're getting – he didn't throw a touchdown pass yesterday.
He ran
for a couple.
Yeah.
I always say this, and he was unbelievable yesterday running the football. I had 100 in the first half alone. My only question is –
How long
do you hold up?
Right.
Now, he's still a young guy, and he's really good at making people miss. So he's got that. How long do you last, though, taking the amount of hits he's going to take? Now, there's no question. When he plays the way he did yesterday, they're really friggin' good.
They're tough to beat.
When they got that running game going the way they got it going, that's a different beast. More than his passing game when they can run like that.
I think more importantly in that game, Bengals go to 0-6. In the tank for Tua trade.
Well, listen, man.
You got some people in that caboose with you.
I hope Dalton knows that they're going to have a quarterback. They're taking a quarterback with the first
100%.
Pick
not even a question at this point.
All right, guys, to go along with Jameis, we have another top quarterback that might be done. Marcus Mariota hit the bench yesterday. You see who popped in to replace him, none other than Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
He couldn't score either. The Titans got shut out 16-0 by the Broncos.
I think they have more problems than just the quarterback is what we're
– Titans?
Yeah.
Didn't they start the season with that big win over Cleveland?
That offensive line, once they got their left tackle, Lewan back, was going to be really good. Those guys running for their lives. Tannehill came in. He didn't do anything. He threw a pick and saw him get sacked.
Yeah,
looked like the same guy playing.
Normal.
You know, I was kind of hoping Joe was going to show some love for Adam Gase this morning, but I guess we'll have to do it here. The Jets got their first win. They beat Dallas 24-22. Sam Darnold actually looked really good. 23 of 32, 388 yards, and a couple of touchdowns, just one interception. Show a little love to Adam Gase there, Joe. Right.
I'll tell you what, he getting Sam Darnold back, they look like a different team. And not just it just feeding off the quarterback and the way he played. Some of the throws he made deep were unbelievable, but they played with great passion. Great passion yesterday. And they played hard because they had to be real close if that thing didn't get off to a good start yesterday.
If they would have went 0-5 with Darnold back in the lineup for this last game, we would have heard some crazy things coming out of New York. By the way, also, 1 week from tonight, they host the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. See, Jets can beat them. They play like they did yesterday. They'll have a chance.
Bigger story, Darnold coming back for the Jets and winning that game, or the Cowboys pooping the bed the last 3 weeks, and now they're 3-3 after a 3-0 start.
I think Darnold, man, Darnold coming back, they look like a complete – hell, they scored more points in that game than they've scored all year offensively.
they showed that stat about 30 times.
Yeah, man, that was nuts.
And then finally here, guys, you've talked about the Steelers and Chargers game from last night. The Steelers won 24-17. Pittsburgh went up 24-0 early. Did you guys see the crowd?
Oh, God.
At that soccer stadium in L.A.? And Al Michaels hit on it a bunch last night. He said he thought it was 80% Steelers fans there. It could have been even more than that.
I think it was more.
This is going on every week that they're home. It goes on. We saw it. I've seen it now. Every time they're on TV, it's the visiting fans. I don't know. That L.A. is not Chargers. They lost their fan base. They really counted on a lot of that fan base going, we'll drive an hour and a half on Sunday.
Is that how long it is, right?
Yeah. Traffic. It can be longer. Yeah. But 90 minutes to go up and watch our Chargers. And instead, they've been completely turned off, by the way. Well, there's no good way to handle dumping a city.
Right.
But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what the league does. They're having trouble, apparently, with sales of tickets, so they can't afford the price that their partners are asking them, the Rams, to pay. I don't know what they're going to do. I honestly, it's a little – NFL, that's going to move up here as one of the problems they have. We're going to move into that big stadium and play in front of 20 or 30,000 fans.
There's 36,000 seats in that stadium, and I'm not even joking yesterday. There might have been 30,000 Steeler fans there.
It's a cool little place to watch an NFL football game.
Sure, if you have your fans there. I mean, the Chargers – We're the home team last night only because they played in California.
Yeah, and they got those soccer lines all over the field, too.
It's weird.
It's bad. I don't know what they're going to do. They thought as they got better, and nobody's fallen in love with that team. Of course, now they're not playing great. That's a Rams place. There's just no built-in. Apparently, we're finding out people live in L.A. were not Charger fans. That was San Diego's team.
Right.
And only San Diego.
Right. How about the Chargers, by the way? They lost 5 of their last 6 primetime games. That's a trend that you don't want going in that direction.
I thought they had
a good team. Yeah.
They're falling behind here, too.
How about how many times last night on the broadcast, too, they kept saying, oh, Steelers defense upgraded by Fitzpatrick. I'm like, really?
Tell me he didn't. I didn't watch. Tell me he didn't have an interception.
Oh, I didn't even notice if he did or not. But
all right.
3 or 4 times. Steelers defense playing a lot better since
he's a good player.
The addition of Fitzpatrick.
Zach, you don't bring it up every week. He's a good player. Everybody knows. He's a good player. And by the way, that pick would be watched forever. And you better be better than Minka or as good.
Gotta lose some more games so that pick's in the top 10 still.
It doesn't matter where the pick is. You better pick a good player in the first round. That's all we know. It's a first round pick. We also know 8 o'clock hour's coming up. We got a lot more stuff. By the way, we're gonna hear from Turner Davidson. Who? Turner Davidson, that's right, the new Miami Hurricane field goal kicker. Well, yeah, that's unbelievable.
It's a good story.
A practice, warm-up, a competition to find out who's going to kick in the game. And they're all out there. You imagine the whole coaching staff out there watching the kickers. That's crazy. Anyway, we'll talk more about that coming up, 8 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.